Get to our places so we can get started. Starting a new lesson tonight. We'll spend a couple of weeks with this one, then we'll have one more lesson, spend a couple of weeks with that. And that'll conclude our studies in Deuteronomy. The lesson tonight, like I say, covers a couple of important things, as I call it. And then the next lesson is the Song of Moses, which we hear about, read about, and sing about at different times. But this week is pretty much, I call it the beginning of Moses. It really is. It's Moses' final address to the children of Israel. And it, you know, it's I call it, there's a couple of things in there in chapter 30, a couple of passages in there that we're going to, maybe not so much tonight, but next week we'll spend some time in. And the title of this one is called The Future of Israel, but we really, we should be calling it Choose Life. Choose Life, because that's the question he puts before them. He gives them choices. Basically, we call it good and evil, life or death. He uses a couple of examples like that to a couple of different places. And but basically, he's saying you got to choose life, and he tells them how to do that, and that's the most important thing, really, in these lessons. But there's still some other things we need to look at, I think, that are important too, and we'll do that here in just a few moments. If you'll bow with me, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, then we'll begin our questions. Our God and Father in heaven, we're grateful unto you, Father, for all your love, for every blessing you give us, Father. We know it all comes from you. We're grateful, Father, for the physical blessings of life and health and strength. We're mindful, Father, of those who are weak and have illnesses, and we pray for them, Father. We thank you, Father, for those, and pray for those, Father, for those, we don't thank you, but we pray for those, Father, who are weak in spirit and who are challenged to be able to come and worship and study your word together with us. We pray for them, Father, that they will overcome their weakness and their shortcomings and overcome the obstacles that are they or someone else places in their way so that they can come together to be with us as we gather to worship and honor you. We're thankful, Father, for Jesus and what he means to us, for that great blessing he brings to us of forgiveness and honoring him by forgiving others. We pray all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Starting in chapter 29 there, first question says, what does Moses mean when he says, the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear until this day? What did that mean, or what was that about when Moses told the children of Israel that? It's not the fact that they couldn't understand. It's the fact that they just did not submit to it. That's really what it came down to. Think about what had God. I liked it when I first wrote the question. I wrote it that way, but then I thought about what had God given them. And you think about it. He says, "You have seen all that God has done for you. You're coming out of Egypt. What he did to the Egyptians in Egypt." What he did, you know, to Pharaoh and all his servants, to the great trials, you saw signs and wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. And the fact is not because God did that to them, but it's because that's the path they chose. That's what they had chosen to do. It's not listen. Not give their heart to God and obey him in all things. Their eyes did not see the miracles. They did not hear what his commandments were. And so that's why when God let them do that, does God give us that same option? Does he let us not listen to his word? Does he let us not choose the right path? Does he let us not see the way we should go? He gives us options, doesn't he? We have that choice. But what do we know we need to do? We need to make the right choice. We need to see those options and understand from the examples of what he did to the Egyptians and what he did to Pharaoh, the miracles he performed, the plagues he put on Egypt, how he carried them throughout the wilderness and their history. And I think that's what they still didn't, I'm sad to say, they still didn't get the picture, did they? They still didn't really get the picture of what he was looking at. So as we continue this, Moses continues this. Question C says, Moses continues to give them the history of what God has done for them. What are some of the miracles that are listed there? What are some of the things that he lists? I call them miracles. You may not, but I call them miracles because they were. Mm-hmm. And what else? Their sandals did not wear out. In other words, the shoes. They did not have to do, they didn't what? Do what? They did not eat what? Bread that they had stopped and cooked and made and cooked. They did not drink what? Wine. Because, you know, wine's not instant, you know. It has to go through a process. But God provided them with manna, with quail, and with water. Everything they needed, he provided them with that. So when we look at that from that perspective, these are miracles. It was miracles, you know. You know, quail just doesn't fall down and you know, Kurt's not here, but he's a duck hunter. He's hunting quail too. He does that sometimes too. So if you've ever done that, you know they are not easy objects to kill. So those are some of the things that he had done for them. Next question. We move on. Question three says, list all the people Moses says are standing before Jehovah. They're all standing there. Got them gathered there. What's the different categories? I call up categories or the different kinds of people there he has. Mm-hmm. Called them, I think some versions call them sojourners in the camp. In other words, anybody who was around them were all gathered there. They were all gathered there for a purpose. What was the purpose there? What were they gathered for? Verse 12. Right. I didn't include that as a question. I just thought we'd see that. So that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people. What does Moses mean when he says he makes this covenant with those present and those who are not here? In other words, he's making with this group. We've listed this group. What are we talking about when he says those that are not here? Who is he talking about? The generation past, right? And the future generations, too. It's not going to be just a one time with just you and me. It's going to be your history. I made it with your forefathers. I made it with Jacob. I mean, not Jacob. Yeah, but anyway, he made it with Abraham, beginning, and all through the ancestry there. And he made it continually with them now as he renewed it. And then it's going to be for their children also. Question five says, what are the two reasons given here for renewing this covenant? There's two reasons. I kind of read one a while ago there in verse. Verse 13. To establish them as his people, to make sure they understood they are his people. But also, and not in contrast to that, but going along with that, that he was their God. He was their only God that he was wanting them to have. So he says, that you may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, as he promised you, as he swore to your fathers, and Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. So this is just a renewal of what he has promised them before. And like I say, this is kind of, you know, that final say-so for Moses. Question six says, what do abominations do to the children of Israel? What do those things do to them? What does it do? It brings curses on them. What else? Yeah, he was blessing them. But in this case, look at verse 18. That's one I have chosen. It says, beware, lest there be among you a man or a woman or a clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Those are the things that he had been warning about. Was don't serve those gods that you conquered. You know, don't leave them standing upright. Tear them down, bust them up, destroy the people, destroy all those idols. And those are the things that were abomination to him, because what? It took them away from serving God. It took their hearts away from serving God. And that was the most important thing. Question seven asks the question, who will Jehovah not pardon? Yeah. Yeah, that's the New Testament reference, okay? John quoted for us, who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, they will not be pardoned. But in this case, he's talking about, in this instance, what he's talking about or referencing is, again, is those who do take after those gods. Those who, he says, the idea there in 19 and 20, it says, 20 says, the Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather be the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and the curses written in this book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. Kind of serious talk, isn't it? Think Moses is serious? You think they're going to listen to him this time? Probably not. We know that history of what he does. Next question. Before we do that, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read from 22 to the end of the chapter. It says, and the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land will say, when they see the afflictions of that land and the sickness with which the Lord has made it sick, the whole land burned out with brimstone and salt. Nothing sown and nothing growing, where no plant can sprout. An overthrow like that of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath. All the nations will say, why has the Lord done this to the land? What caused the heat of this great anger? When people will say it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they had not known and whom he had not allotted to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, bringing upon it all the curses written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath, and cast them into another land as they are this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know, you think about what he's saying there. And that's the prophecy of the rest of the history of the children of Israel. Before they ever get into the promised land, I know we've got a few people on the east side there of the Jordan where they divided up some land and gotten their allocations. But they're fixing to go across the Jordan. And they're fixing to go over there and conquer that land and divide up the rest of the tribes. But he's prophesying here, God's going to take you. He's prophesying what? Captivity, right? Babylonian, Assyrian, and even Roman, in fact. Now, by the time the Romans took over the world at that point in the time of Jesus, they didn't consider themselves to be captors or slaves, did they? The Jews did not consider them to be captives or slaves because the Romans allowed them to freely go about their religion. Not all the time, though. That was the point. And Jesus was saying, you know, when Jesus rebuked them, they said, we've always been free. We've never been slaves. And of course, we know that's not true because here we've just seen them be slaves in Egypt. So the idea of the fact that the Jews broke the covenant too, we just read that. They broke the covenant themselves. But then Moses prophesied, because they break the covenant, and they're going to break the covenant, they're going to be carried away out of this promised land. They're going to be taken away from there. And the Babylonians, remember, the best example I have of that is Daniel and his three friends trying to eliminate Jewish history through them by training them and teaching them their language and giving them new names and doing all those kind of things so that they would not remember who they were. But Daniel and his three friends remembered who they were and they remembered who their God was and did not abandon him like so many people did during that time. But the idea of the fact that Moses is prophesying that now, I've never really thought about that until I read this, and I read it again, and I said, you know, that's just a prophecy of what's going to happen to the children of Israel. And they hadn't even gone to the land of Canaan yet. But that's their future. And he promised them that. And they keep promising, and that's why I say he forecast that they were going to break the covenant. And they did. So why did Jehovah destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And why did he lay the land desolate? Yeah. Their wickedness was so great. You know, their wickedness was so great that you hate to say this the way, but God says it's not worth saving. But he allowed Lot and his family, which were the only righteous people there, to escape. And he sent people there to rescue them. And, you know, the thought of people thinking that God, you know, he's not going to, you know, he doesn't destroy people because of their sin. He doesn't do that. Well, he may not, as far as we can see here in this life. I'm not going to get into that argument. But we know what the future holds for them. Their sin is going to separate them from God, and they're not going to have any kind of life after death. They're going to live in hell. They're going to be tormented for the remainder of their time. The idea of the fact that people want to project God as this, you know, his grace is going to save us, and he's going to love us all, and nobody's going to have to worry about anything. It's just not true. Just not true. And I think that's a great example of it. When he says he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he talked about the land, what was the result to the land? What does it say about the land itself that was done to it? It was burned with brimstone and salt. You know, I kill grass, put salt on it, okay? It's, you know, ice cream salt's the best, you know, for grass killing. You know. But, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that'll kill grass, but that's one of them. And he says, nothing sown, nothing's going to make the plants can grow. They can't sprout. I mean, it's just totally dead. It's dead dirt, okay? In other words, there's no life in the dirt. And that's how angry he was because of their wickedness. Now, this next one is important, I think. Question 10 says, what did Moses say Israel did? What did he just say it outright? What did they abandon? They abandoned the covenant, didn't they? Didn't say God abandoned them. Well, he did after they did what they did. But they abandoned the covenant. That futuristic foreseeing that Moses did, the prophecy that he said, they're going to abandon the covenant. They're going to serve other gods. They're going to do exactly what God has been warning them not to do. Question 11 says, what did Moses say about secret things and things revealed? What do you say about the secret things? What about them? They that belong to the Lord. What about the things revealed? Mm-hmm. Keep all the commandments. They belong to the children of Israel forever, for them to help them, remind them, and to keep his commandments. In other words, it goes back to that first phrase we talked about. The Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear until this day. So, in other words, up until now, you've not been really getting the whole picture. Today, you've got to start getting the picture. This is Moses' ultimatum, so to speak. This is his final Besides this song, this is the final plea to the children of Israel. He's given them an ultimatum. Today you're going to be able to understand that. You have to be able to understand that. And that's why he's saying, what he's saying about these things, the secret things, the things you don't know, they belong to God. He'll reveal them to you as you need, as he needs to. But the things that he has taught you, the things that he has revealed to you, the signs and the wonders, the miracles that he performed during your travels and your ancestry, those are the things you need to bear in mind to remind you to keep his commandments. Any questions or comments so far? Thanks for your participation. Let's go ahead and turn to the page and go to question 12. Question 12 says, you know, I mentioned the fact, last lesson we looked at the blessings and curses. What does Moses say about them here? What does he have to say about them here? This is in chapter 30. Yeah, he uses the phrase, yeah. What phrase does he use there? Well, your version may say something different, but he says, call them to mind. Remember what he said about blessings and cursings. Exactly. You're right, Rebecca. I'm not just kidding. But I like the word call, what does it say? Call them to mind. In other words, I know my memory's getting bad, but sometimes you need to call. Or as I say, my memory is great. There's a memory bank that's unbelievable. My recall is the problem. I can't remember what I know. But that's what he's saying. Remember these things as you enter the promised land. What else did I have? I have something else written down here. Oh, yeah, and he also asked them to return to the Lord. In other words, he wants them to do that, to remember and return to the Lord. When verses 6 through 10 talk about circumcision, I'm going to read those verses here in chapter 30. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers. When you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, then you will turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So, when we look at that, God's going to circumcise their hearts. What does he mean by that? Right. Do you think he's referring back to, and I think it is really actually what the first verse we read there in chapter 29 about the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive. But now, when he circumcises your heart will be able to perceive. Does that make sense to you? I'm just throwing that out there. But you think about that. God is saying, I've done all these things for you. You should have recognized the signs and wonders and trusted in me and believed in me. But we know they haven't. But now he's saying, this is the ultimatum. This is the ultimatum. He's going to circumcise your heart. And hopefully you'll respond to that. Make the law a part of your life. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that too here in just a little bit. Any questions or comments about that? And we've talked about circumcision. This is not the first time he's mentioned that. He's asked them to circumcise their hearts. And undoubtedly they didn't, so he's going to do it himself this time. All right. What does Moses say about the word? I'm sorry. 14 says, what does Moses say about this commandment? Verse 11. Not too difficult. And what? It's not far off. It's not out of reach. It's something you can grasp. It's something you can handle. It's something you can obey. What about us? What about God's commandments? Can we handle them? They're not far from us, are they? There's another verse. I didn't write it down, but that says that too. Yeah, that's right. The word is very near to you and is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, that's important. You know, we're looking at these things. Try to look at these things kind of objectively so that we can get a better grasp of what Moses is telling them. But that's what he's talking about when he's talked about the word in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. If it's not there, you're not going to follow it. It's not on you. You know, remember when he first told them to write it on your hands, write it on your wall, set it before your eyes, on your doorpost as you go out the door, as you come in. Keep his commandments. Teach them to your children. Question 16 says, "What comparison does he make here?" And I say should be the word "what comparisons" because he makes multiple. In verses 15 and 19. He calls it, I think the first one says life and good, death and evil. And in verse 19 he uses life and death, and blessing and cursing, or blessings and cursings, or blessing and curse. Why is he comparing those two? Exactly. Complete opposites. Let's start reading. I'm going to read verse 15 through the end of the chapter. To be honest with you, we're going to talk more about this next week. But this is the heart of the lesson here. This is the heart of what Moses is trying to get to them. And I think you'll understand as we look through it and as you study a little bit more. Verse 15. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." What does he call them then to do? Choose life. How are they going to choose life? Obeying the commandments of the Lord, loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, keeping his commandments. That's how you choose life. We've been talking about it from the very beginning. We haven't mentioned it lately. You know, the book of Deuteronomy is about God's relationship with Moses, part of it anyway. We had to get that established. We talked about Moses' life at the very beginning. But it's also about God's relationship with his people, specifically here in Deuteronomy, it's the children of Israel. But is that not the same thing we want today too? We want to have when he made all these laws and these commands that he's given them, remember we talked about the first part of the Ten Commandments, first four basically talking about our relationship with God, the last six about our relationship with one another, or about the children of Israel relationship with one another. That's what he's talking about here too. In order to be pleasing to God, you have to put him first and love him and obey him and do all those things. But you also have to consider your fellow brothers and sisters. The idea of choosing life versus death, we'll always choose life, right? Our reasoning would say that. But do we do the things that God wants us to do to help us choose life? Life's always better when we please God. Life was always better for the children of Israel when they were pleasing God and obeying him. And so that's what he's saying in this verse. And he says, heaven and earth is a witness to this today. You choose life. Choose it today. And like you do it by, like I say, therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land of promise that he promised to your forefathers. The idea that there are a lot of other things they could, you know, that were going to be taking them away. And he's already told them that's what's going to happen. But he's trying to get in their hearts to make sure they understand. They can perceive in their hearts, that they can hear with their ears and eyes to see how important it is to choose life, life with God, and life in a relationship with him and pleasing him. Talked about question 17. Let's go ahead and move on to chapter 31 at this point. Any questions or comments? I know there's probably some, and we'll talk more about these verses. Go ahead, Clint. Just like that. Yeah, this is our wilderness. We're going to compare ourselves to the children of Israel. This is our wilderness. We're sojourners here. The promised land that we're looking for is not here. And that's right. You're very right. We have to fight it each day and try to be an influence to the world. You remember one of the things we talked about first beginning was the reason God was doing these things for the children of Israel was trying to show those nations that they were fixing to go. He was trying to, he wanted the children of Israel to be an influence for good on those evil nations. Right. Well, let's go ahead and try to finish 31 here before we try to finish these questions anyway. How old was Moses this day? Moses was giving this. How old was he? 120? Is that young or old? And I thought my monstrous 70 was old. Okay. Yeah. Who was going to lead Israel across Jordan? Trick question here. Who was going to lead Israel across Jordan? The Lord was, right? Spiritually, the Lord was. Who was physically going? Was Moses going to physically lead them over? No, he was not going in. Who was going to physically lead them over? Joshua was. Yep. That's why I had two answers for that. Okay. What words of encouragement does Moses give Israel? We sing that song. Okay. What words of encouragement does God give Joshua? Be strong and courageous, right? So, what word of encouragement does he give us? Be strong and courageous, okay? You know, as I call it, I guess we could say we've had it easy up until now. I mean, this is going to get bad. This is going to get bad. Moses read the law. What was the purpose of it? What was the purpose of reading the law? Verses 12 and 13 there in chapter 31. And I told you, I have some handouts back there in the back on the hear and fear phrases. This is one of them, okay? On the abomination phrases in Deuteronomy and in Proverbs. And what was the other one? What was the other? Hear and fear and purge the evil from your midst, okay? I got all the listings for those passages back there. If anybody wants to pick it up, I did it just because, for me, more than anything else, but I think it's important for us to remember those things. In other words, here it is again. Hear and fear and learn to fear. I think that's where the phrase was. Where was God going to give Joshua his instructions? In the tent of meeting, right? We don't know exactly. I'm not looking for a specific place, but that was the where he was going to be. And how did God appear to Joshua and Moses at this point? A pillar of cloud. Has he appeared this way to the children of Israel before? When was that? When he was leading him. A pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire. Which one was day and night? Cloud by day, fire by night. Okay. So you see, this is not anything new. What does it mean when God says he will hide his face? That's right. Basically, he says, I'm going to abandon you. You break the covenant. You serve other gods. I'm out of here. I'm not your God anymore. That's part of the covenant. You obey me, I'm your God. You're my people. You disobey me, you've made the choice. That's why I say this is the ultimatum Moses is trying to give them. Who was instructed to write a song and what was its purpose? Who did God tell to write a song? Moses, right? What was the purpose of the song? Mm-hmm. What else? Anything else? Yeah. In other words, it's to teach them their history, so to speak, so they can remember those things. A couple of more questions, and we'll be done. What did God promise Joshua? Mm-hmm. And where would God be? He would be with him, right? And where was the book of the law to be placed, and what was it to do for Israel? Mm-hmm. And it was to serve as a witness against Israel so they could understand this is what they were supposed to obey. Thanks again for your participation. Next week we'll talk about some of those other verses again, like I said, to talk a little bit more about it. Spend some time with those. Appreciate your attention and your help tonight. Thank you.